Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about the general theme of the home as God would have it. And dear friend, we need to understand what God wants about our homes. And our final lesson in this long series, we want to talk about why marriages succeed. You know, our nation has an unenviable divorce record. There are so many things that disturb not only people who are concerned about what God says, but historians, psychologists, educators, economists. They're all concerned about the future of our nation because of what is happening to our homes. There are so many homes and marriages that are not being as they ought to be. Now, there are many reasons, maybe, as to why marriages fail. And I suppose every preacher has preached on the subject as to why marriages fail. But you know, friend, we can understand a lot of reasons why marriages fail and still not ever really understand why marriages succeed. And many marriages do succeed. We see successful marriages all round about. Well, an all-inclusive statement as to why marriages succeed, it is because a man and a woman who love one another and who decide to live together in marriage, listen to God. There is so much in Scripture pertaining to marriage and the home and husbands and wife and rearing of children. Those who succeed obey the voice of God. Now, what is it that they hear from God that they need to understand? Husbands and wives listen to God when He tells them that marriage is a divine institution and it has divine purposes, Genesis chapter 2. You see, marriage came from the mind of God, just like the church did. And it is more than a social or legal or an economic contract. It's instituted by God. It's for the good of mankind. And one of the primary purposes of marriage is to provide that companionship and helpfulness and procreation. It is also to avoid fornication. Marriage is a relationship that is designed that helps one another to please God in life and to help one another go to heaven when this life is over. In marriage, we're not just dealing with men and women in society and civil laws and such as that. We're concerned about souls of people. We're concerned about what's pleasing to God. And any disposition of marriage must include God who originated it if it's going to truly succeed. Marriages are more likely to succeed when the spiritual side of marriage is respected. Marriages, you see, succeed when husband and wife listen to God when He tells them that marriage is for adults. God said, let a man leave his father and mother. Marriage is not child's play. It requires more than just physical maturity. There needs to be emotional and mental and spiritual maturity to handle the duties as well as the privileges of marriage. Sometimes we hear people say that marriage failure is because of incompatibility. Well, more often than not, it's simply because of immaturity, where people have not developed a sense of maturity to where they can handle the responsibilities of marriage. Why, people need to wait till they reach a level of adulthood where they can handle the responsibilities of marriage. Friend, marriages succeed and they're enjoyed when husband and wife listen to God, when He teaches them the oneness of marriage. The Bible says the two become one flesh. There is to be the leaving of parents, the cleaving to each other. There's to be a unity and a oneness in the handling even of the finances of the home. And there's to be unity in the matter of faith. And there's to be loyalty to one's mate above everything else and everyone else except deity. And no in-law, no outlaw can drive a wedge between husband and wife who are first and foremost loyal to each other. The reasons others sometimes contribute to the splitting of marriage is because the marriage ones are not united as they should be. You see, In marriage, it's no longer me and my and mine and you and yours. In marriage, everything becomes we and us and ours. There is this oneness that God intends. And unless we listen to God in this respect, we're simply going to invite trouble. Even blessed children should not be allowed to divide husband and wife. And marriages succeed when husbands and wives listen to God when He teaches them there must be love in that home. And that love is seeking the other's highest good. Wives are to love their husbands, and husbands are to love their wives, as Christ loved the church, and the church is to love Christ. Too often people think of love only in terms of sexual relationship. That's such a sorry mistake. Now, this is involved in marriage, to be sure. It is an expression of love that God reserves for husband and wife. Dear friend, sexual relationship outside of the bond of marriage is a sin, and it will damn the soul of those who engage in fornication and adultery. How can there be the trust, the respect, the esteem, the admiration for one another when there is unfaithfulness to the vows of marriage? How can there be the upholding of each other's hands that is necessary in marriage when there is betrayal? Two major complaints made by wives and husbands are that she nags and belittles, and he's constantly criticizing and finding fault. Well, such is simply a manifestation of the lack of love. Love will unselfishly seek what God has decreed to be the good of the other. Certainly we're not to be totally blind to the fault of one another. But why do you recognize the faults of one another? And so you can help to improve one another. Furthermore, marriage partners need to be considerate in choosing the time to mention the faults and the shortcomings of one another. They need to have a forbearance and a courtesy and a consideration. And it pays at times to simply say, "I'm sorry," for misdeeds that are committed. But marriages succeed when people listen to God regarding the sexual association in marriage. So many people have distorted marriage. They enter into marriage. They just simply live with one another without the commitment of marriage to one another. So many perverts talking about this same-sex marriage. That's not marriage. That's an abomination before God and those that participate in it. They can never please God so long as they stay in that kind of relationship. There are people who are simply determined they're going to have their sexual satisfaction regardless of the bonds of marriage. Dear friend, God wants people to be married to one another before they enter into a sexual relationship with one another. Now, this is an understanding that our society seems is willing to simply cast aside. But you cannot cast it aside and be pleasing to Almighty God. I know that on television, on the news, the celebrities, they all talk about their sexual relationships, and they brag about it, and they flaunt it about. And the ridiculous stupidity of the news media is always promoting those who are the perverts, and those who are the fornicators, and those who are in multi-marriages, and so forth. They think that this is approved by many people in society. But you can be sure it's never approved by Almighty God. Marriages succeed when husband and wife respect God's restrictions and God's directions and God's purposes for the sexual relationship in marriage. You see, many people enter marriage without the understanding of what marriage is for. Marriage is so that here are two people who love one another, who are going to help one another get to heaven, who are going to possibly have children that they're going to bring into this world, children that they're going to train to be servants of God rather than servants of the devil or servants of themselves. Many people seem like they've never understood this, and therefore their home is filled with filthy language. It's filled with those immoral things that you hear and see coming into our homes by means of television. Friend, there needs to be an explicit reverential attitude toward the bond of marriage, just as God has decreed it. And when that is true, the home and the marriage can succeed. Marriages will succeed when the partners listen to God and apply the Christian virtue of selflessness. Is it not true that selfishness is often at the taproot of marital problems? When we see husbands and wives as Christ loved the church, and wives loving their husbands in return just as the church is to love Christ, that's the basis for a happy home. That's the basis for a successful marriage. God teaches us that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I know that does not please everybody, but it pleases those who please God. It pleases those who have respect for God. This does not mean that one is superior to the other. Each is superior in their own specified role and realm of life, and their roles are different. There's no room for a tyrannical husband. There's no room for a domineering wife. Selflessness. That makes marriages happy. Selflessness contributes to a successful marital union. And marriages succeed when those involved will both listen to God when God says marriage is for life. The phrase, till death do it part, that's what it means. In sickness and health, prosperity, adversity, for better or for worse, good times, bad times, all times, it's me and you against the world. Marriage partners must enter marriage with that understanding and with that commitment. Anything less is to distort what God has implanted. It's been that way since the beginning. And this is the way that Jesus said it should be. For he said marriage is to be as it was since the beginning. This idea that some have of what they call an open marriage or trial marriage or divorcing just every now and then. Friend, that's not what God wants. Till death do it part. That's the way that God intends. When marriages succeed, it's when the home and the church and those that are involved, they will be an improvement for society. Because they will give that basic source of society, that foundation stability that it must have in order to survive. Marriages succeed when men and women who love one another enter into marriage the way God says they are to be married, and once married, they will continue to listen to God. You see, it's from the home that everything in our society, it comes. The civil leaders, the educators, the business people, everybody, everything, it comes from the home. And so those in marriage and those contemplating marriage, listen to God. God will tell us how to have that happy home. And when we have that happy home, we will go a long way toward the purpose of marriage, and that is helping one another get to heaven. I pray for you and pray for everyone that we might have the home that God would have us to have. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.